We knew that we would not be able to get it through the legislature. If we would prejudice the rights of existing creditors. You know, if a bank's got a lien on an asset, they don't want that lien to be destroyed by a divisive merger. So the statute says that you cannot, in a divisive merger, prejudice the rights of existing creditors. That's a key factor in the statute. That's been there for the duration. Okay, so in any event, each surviving and new entity to which an obligation is allocated in a plan of merger is the primary obligor for the obligations, except as otherwise provided in the plan of merger, or by law or contract. So by law or contract. So what we're really getting there is the fraudulent transfer law.
Right.
We knew that we couldn't preempt the federal bankruptcy fraudulent transfer law. So we put that in the statute, and that's been in there since the beginning of time. Likewise, a contract, if there's a bank lien, whatever, it's there. Of course, that's a source of litigation. So you've got to do your allocation in your plan of merger. Very critical that you do that, because if you don't, the parties are going to be tenants in common in the assets that are not allocated. And I can assure you, no one wants to be a tenant in common. The other is you're going to be jointly and severally liable. And I can assure you, joint and several liability is not something anybody wants in any circumstance.
Right.
Delaware and their statute essentially gets to the same place, because it's one of the things you just got to do. Okay, so we talked about unallocated already. Okay, so that when a merger takes effect, then the properties and assets are vested in the surviving entity. The statute says, without any transfer or assignment having occurred. So if you've all had to give legal opinions at stage about whether a merger will violate an anti-assignment clause in a contract, well, our statute says, and it applies to not only divisive mergers but any merger, that a merger is not a transfer for the purposes of contract provisions. Okay, so if you're a lender, by this time you've figured out that we have this provision in the statute, and they have words like by merger or otherwise, transfer by merger or otherwise. So if they pick this up contractually, but if they haven't done it, then they lose here. We have a Texas Court of Appeals case that basically held that a merger is, in fact, not a transfer. So statute's read literally. However, there's always an exception. And one of the exceptions is federal intellectual property. And there we had a patent, and it had an assignment provision, and basically the Ohio Court of Appeals, federal court, held that a transfer of a patent by merger would be an assignment for that purpose. Likewise, if you're dealing with the fraudulent transfer laws, they're going to simply ignore the Texas statute and say, under federal law, this is a transfer. So for fraudulent transfer purposes, it's also a transfer. But basically, a merger is not a transfer. So that's very important, because if you're trying to break up a company, you want to put the assets one place and the liabilities someplace else. Now, even though you can't prejudice the rights of creditors and destroy their liens, by putting assets in one entity or another, you've reduced and divided the pool of assets that's available for the creditworthiness of the entity. So it's still a very effective tool. Now, again, here's the literal words of the statute. This code does not affect, nullify, or repeal any right or rights of creditors under any existing laws. Of course, we're there talking about the bankruptcy code and fraudulent transfer law, but Texas has a fraudulent transfer law, and most states do. So you've got that. Okay. We pretty well talked about that one. Delaware, they amended their statutes to allow for LLCs and limited partnership to affect divisions, simply a change of vocabulary. It gets to the same plan. Now, Delaware did one thing, and that they said, if you have not, if you've done a division, do you have to get approval, special approval for a division? And the court has basically said, probably. So we've talked about Delaware and Texas both saying that if liabilities are not allocated, they're joint and several debts. And we've talked about no assignment resulting. Taxes. You would think the division would not have a tax consequence, but it's not subject for this panel, but bottom line, most divisions were going to be governed by the Internal Revenue Code, and the tax people have an entirely different concept of things, and whatever we say in this statute is not going to affect the tax law, and generally speaking, a divisive merger is going to be a taxable event.